everybody. Let's stand for the King and let's just worship him tonight. Lift up our voices, lift up our hands to him because he's worthy. And if you can't sing, well, then just sing loud. Let's adore him in this place tonight. Come on.
Jesus, for you alone. Oh, come let us adore.
Your voice lifted.
Oh, come let us adore. Oh, come let us hear Christ.
Sing joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And wonders of His love, and the wonders of His love, and the wonders, wonders of His love, and the wonders, wonders of His love, and the wonders, wonders of His love.
Joy to the world. Right here, right now, in the midst of your chaos, family traditions, last minute shopping, crazy family people. Anybody got any of those? Anybody want a white Christmas? I can tell you that right now, in this moment, I want nothing more and just to see Jesus and to step right into His presence. I want so much more of Him in my life. I want so much less of me. Don't you? So Lord God, would You just increase in our lives and decrease us. We must decrease so that You can increase. And Lord God, we just fix our eyes upon You right here and right now. And with thankful hearts, thankful minds, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to You, the kind of worship that pleases You. And we say, here I am to worship and bow down and declare that You're my God. There's no one before You. No name is greater than the name of Jesus. No name is higher. Everything is beneath Your feet tonight. We cast our burdens down at Your feet because You care and You love us so desperately. We just want more of You tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Light of the world, You step down. that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. To see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see. Thank you, Father. Thank you for taking my sin on that cross.
You love Jesus tonight? Mr. Don Overman is here tonight. You can have a seat, and he's going to lead us through communion. Don Everman is a good friend of ours. He has had a little church a couple of doors over, literally, for the past 4 years. And here he is tonight to talk about communion.
Merry Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government peace, there shall be no end. Can you say amen? This time of year, most of us have family gatherings. When we get together around our table, a lot of reminiscing. The common phrase that we hear over and over, remember when? Remember when? Remember when it snowed 7 years on Christmas? It did in Jackson County, Smoky Mountains. Remember when our son came home from the hospital on Christmas Eve, healed and cured of a bad disease? Remember when you got that gift you always wanted? Remember when? And now it's time to come to the Lord's table tonight. And it's time to pick up on that as we gather here around the Lord's table to remember when. Remember when that son that was given became the gift of God to you? Remember when? Remember when that government of that son began to rule and reign in your life? Remember? And he began to change you from glory to glory in an image of his son. You remember that? And you finally stopped calling him the man upstairs. You called him Lord. Remember when? Isaiah gives us some things to remember. He said, remember when that you were facing the most critical time in your life, a life-changing decisions, and the Wonderful Counselor came and gave you the best advice you'll ever get. Remember when? Remember that time in your life that you were so weak and worn out, no strength to go on. Mighty God came. Remember when? Picked you up, gave you the strength to go on and to get through what you've been going through. Remember when? Remember when you lacked that security in your family? You needed a father figure. You needed someone that you can look up to. That the everlasting Father came. Remember when? He came and gave you the power that resided in you through the Holy Spirit. And you went through. Remember when? Remember when life became a turmoil? But you remembered something that Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give unto you. Remember when the peace of God came and the Prince of Peace entered into your life and established something called justice and righteousness. Remember when? So So here we are. Let's remember tonight around the communion table, our past sins are forgiven. That God tonight is working in the present to fulfill His purpose for you. He's deeply in that process because He loves you. But let's remember something else tonight. The Bible says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until He comes again. I met a couple recently that partake of communion every morning along with their breakfast. And I always wondered about that. As often as you eat this and drink this, and I think we had to do it as often as we need to. And they said something happens every morning that a third person comes in, koinonia takes place. They fellowship with one another with no sins in their life. And the Lord of your life comes and they have a three-person fellowship daily. What a wonderful way to start the day. Amen? Would you agree? So tonight as we remember when, as you go by the table, go with reverence because He's an awesome God. Remember, He is worthy. You may feel like tonight that you are unworthy. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about Him. And even a feeling of unworthiness shouldn't cause you to go away from the table. It should drive you to the table. So as you approach the table tonight, in a spirit of reverence, say, Lord, I remember. And we'll fulfill all these scriptures that the new covenant brought to pass as we partake together. I think it'd be neat if you're here with family, close friends. I think it'd be neat for families to go through together and experience that koinonia and let Jesus Christ join you at that table. God bless you. Remember 2010.
So when your heart is ready, you can proceed to the table nearest you. We have two tables set up here in the back. Take the bread, dip it in the juice. Remember the body that was broken for you, the blood that was shed for you. Righteousness, nothing.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all precious is the flow.
He's above all things. He's above your pain. He's above your finances. He's above your mistakes. He's above your family, your friends, your circumstances. He's above everything. Christ, above all things. Higher.
Well, good evening. Merry Christmas to you, one and all. Welcome to our friends from New Life Fellowship. And Don, thank you for one of the more memorable communion messages that we will ever hear. Thank you for that so much. And for Jim and for Pete and serving at the table. And for all the rest of you who are here with us tonight. You know what, David, I told you to leave them like this, but I want to see their faces, so go ahead and pop them up, okay, if you don't mind. Thank you. Always looking in the back, it's always good to see a media guy with the Santa Claus hat on back there. I like to tell people Ron Carter is one of my five favorite people in the world. I told his wife that just the other day, and she said, yeah, you know, he's getting close to cracking my top 10 list, actually. So anyway, we're glad that you're here tonight, and Merry Christmas. I do want to tell you one thing before we get going. I made this announcement last night, and we had a lot of folks here last night, too. Just a surprisingly large crowd for the Christmas Eve, before the Christmas Eve. And so we're going to, in the interest of helping you be as safe as you possibly can be on Sunday morning, we're taking our joint service, which we had scheduled for 10 o'clock, and we're actually going to move it to our regular second service time of 10:30, okay? Just so you'll know, that give you a little bit more time to navigate, just in case there might be some weather stuff out there that might make it a little difficult for you. But I wanted to let you know that tonight, and also our emails and website reflect that as well, even as we speak. Well, Christmas is a time, as Don told us, that we need to remember. And we're going to spend some time tonight remembering one of those main characters around Christmas. Probably we're not going to tell you a whole lot tonight that you didn't already know about her. Her name is Mary. And we're going to look at how Mary responded to God's plan. We're going to look at how God presented through the angel Gabriel an opportunity for her. Now, Mary could have turned down the opportunity to be the mother of the Son of God, but she chose not to. She chose to follow through. Now, as far as we know, she was very young, 14, 15 maybe 17 or 18, possibly. More likely, she was in that younger range of what we just talked about. And we don't really know a whole lot about her background. But we do know that she knew enough to be faithful and obedient to God. And we should be very glad for that. But I want us to start tonight by remembering something even a little different, something that precedes Mary even a little further back in time. And those are some of the prophetic words, some more prophetic words, as Don has exposed us to some tonight already, from the book of Isaiah and the prophet Isaiah speaking for God as the Old Testament prophets would do. And in verse 14, we see a very familiar passage that I imagine that you have heard at some point in time during your life around Christmas time. And let me just give you a little bit of a background of what is happening here with this particular passage. You see, the prophecy was given in a time of great turmoil and a time of great uprising in Judah. Now, Judah was the southern kingdom of the larger nation of Israel. Israel was the name for the larger nation as well as the northern kingdom. Well, Judah, if that name sounds a little familiar to you, it's not coincidental. We talked about just a couple of Sundays ago about how God had ordained among Jacob's sons the fourthborn son, Judah, to be the one through whom the Son of God would come. And therefore, we hear Jesus referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah because he actually came through Judah. Well, the southern kingdom consisted of, the large part of that was the tribe of Judah, and so hence the name. And so during this time of the divided kingdom after Solomon reigned, when Israel divided into two parts, there was great civil unrest between the north and the south. And so what we have here is a situation where the little nation of Aram, which was relatively small but relatively powerful from a military perspective, they allied with Israel. And at this point in time, they decided that they were going to fight against Judah. They were going to try to take their riches and the spoils and all that good stuff. Well, Judah was ruled by a king named Ahaz, who was a pretty good guy. He wasn't, you know, one of the worst kings, wasn't one of the best ones, but he certainly wasn't one of the worst ones that we saw in the history of the kingdom. So he was very afraid. And so Isaiah the prophet went to him and he said, look, God says, Ahaz, that you, as the king of Judah, you don't have to worry about anything. God's going to protect you. Well, Ahaz didn't believe him because he understood the military might of the combined kingdoms of Israel and Ahaz would be very difficult for his armies to overcome. But yet he still would not believe the prophet Isaiah. And so Isaiah says, okay, well, ask for a sign. God says, ask for a sign, and whatever it is, within reason, I imagine, God will do it to demonstrate to you that he will protect you. Ahaz still would not demonstrate the faith to even ask for the sign. And so we read Isaiah's words in verse 14 of chapter 7. And the way it starts out, you can almost imagine that this is just an extension of the conversation we're just talking about. All right then, Isaiah says, all right then, you won't choose the sign. The Lord himself will choose the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now that prophecy leads on into the life of Mary. A virgin will conceive. So let's go over to Luke chapter 1 and let's look at some aspects of God's plan. Because you know what? God's plan for your life is unique. It is not like the plan that he has for anybody else specifically. But the deal is God wants us to figure it out and move into it. And can I tell you that figuring out God's plan for your life is not real difficult? By the way, you realize that God made us to be not nearly as smart as him. So he purposely made God's plan, his plan for us, not difficult to figure out. I know people that spend their lives thinking that it's such a difficult thing to figure out, and they want a dot-to-dot coloring book to tell them exactly what to do. That's typically not how God works. God is loving, and he cares about us so much, and he wants us to have fun in life. And it gives us this range, I believe. His plan is more like a range than just a dot-to-dot coloring book kind of thing. Well, Mary would find out some things this very night and then later on in her life about God's plan. But let's look at her story and let's just notice some of the things that God's plan could encompass. The first thing is that God's plan often features the most obscure places. The angel Gabriel goes to a place called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was not necessarily a small town. It was rather a town that was known more for its maybe some of the negative factors about the town. It was at a major crossroads of trade routes going east and west and north and south. And there were a lot of businesses of ill repute there. Lots of what we would call brothels, perhaps, maybe some bars. Maybe some club kryptonite and da-da-da and all this stuff kind of thing we see around here. Very much like where our churches, folks, are located right now. So Nazareth was a place, though, where God went. And he found this little girl named Mary. And so God sends Gabriel. And we see in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, Elizabeth's pregnancy is the context here. It's the timeline. Because of the birth that would be given to John the Baptist. I believe here that Luke wants us to understand that John would be born before Jesus, and that would be, in 6 months or so, would not necessarily, 6 or 8 months, whatever the time frame would be, the difference between their pregnancies, would not necessarily mean a whole lot, other than the fact that God was demonstrating that John would go before Jesus to prepare the way. So we see in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, which is in northern Israel. And so the second thing we see about God's plan is they often involve the most unlikely people. Now, you might consider yourself an unlikely person for God to use. Can I tell you that God does not see you that way? You are not an unlikely person for God to use. Mary, again, was very young. She was probably not there probably wasn't a whole lot about her that really would have caused her to stand out in any group of people, in any scenario, in any situation. And we see that the appearance was made to this virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now that's important as well, because the prophecies would also speak of who? Jesus, the Messiah, carrying forth the throne of his ancestor David. So David has, so the lineage here comes through Joseph, the father, who, by the way, was not the father of seed in this situation. And so Joseph is a descendant of David. And the third thing that we see is that God's plan features the most obscure places, the most unlikely people, and often the most unusual proposals. God is liable to ask you to do some pretty wild and crazy stuff. And that causes so many Christ followers to shy away and think, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. That's just not for me. That's just not for me. Can I give you a little piece of advice? Here's something to add to your prayer list every day. Ask God daily the question, God, what is the next big step? Show me and lead me through it. Show me and lead me through it. I've realized in my in my 10 years of being an adult now that, or actually about, I guess, about 30 plus, but I've realized that life is really meant to be, I think, a series of big steps. And we're not necessarily sure when the next one's coming. But we've got to stay ready for what God wants us to do to be revealed to us and for us to respond accordingly. Well, it's funny that Gabriel says to her the first thing, he says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, in the original language, it would have come out more woman than girl. And Mary, in her youth, might have been thinking, what in the world is this guy trying to say to me? And we don't know how he appeared. Was he obviously an angel? Was Gabriel obviously an angel? We don't know. We don't know how he might have appeared. But Mary was taken, and the Bible tells us that she was fearful at this point. Well, then we move into the point where Mary has to decide whether or not to follow this plan. Well, we too have to decide whether to follow the plans that God lays before us, don't we? We have to decide whether or not we're going to go along with what He wants us to do. Oftentimes, the cost of following God's plan to us is far too great to even think about what the benefits might be. You see, so often, the best things in life come on the other side of tragedy and turmoil and difficulty. As we work through, as we stay persistent, as we demonstrate the courage, as we stay faithful to God, who is our Father, and we trust Him to lead us through those times, often the best things come on the other side of those very difficult scenarios and situations. So what do we see? We see as Mary looks at the plan that Gabriel gives her, and by the way, he hasn't given it quite yet, but he's about to. We see the first stage is Mary's consideration of the plan. She considers the plan. Now, many of you have gotten to the point in your lives where you've considered what God wants you to do. Maybe He's kind of giving you a little taste or something. And you think about it, you consider it, and, you know, sometimes maybe you said, yeah, I'm going to go with it. Other times, maybe you found reasons not to go with it. Well, I can tell you that the consideration phase is a very important phase. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, we see where Gabriel begins to tell her the story. He says, "Don't be frightened, Mary." He said, "For God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Now let me tell you some questions you might ask during the consideration phase. Something like this might sound familiar to you. Is this really real? Am I like dreaming? Do I need to be pinched or something? Here's another one. Is this really a God thing? Is it really God doing this? How about, I could never be a part of that. I'm just not good enough. I just don't have what it takes. Well, God had definitely interrupted Mary's life, and she had three choices. Number one, to stick with her own plan, to do things the way she would have wanted to do them. She could have manipulated God's plan, right, to kind of say, well, I'll do what God wants me to do, but, you know, I'm going to throw my own twist in here. And I'm going to, it winds up, when we manipulate God's plan, by the way, it winds up becoming our own plan. You do realize that, right? Or she could have decided to go along with God's plan. Those were basically her three choices. So what does she do? Well, we move to the second part of the presentation of the plan, and we see Gabriel's clarification of the plan. Now, God loves us enough to where He will answer our questions. He may just not answer them with the answers that we are looking for. He might answer a question with another question. The wisest people are the ones who ask the best questions, right? God will always continue to stimulate us, to challenge us as He wants us to move forward in His plan for our lives, to move toward where His kingdom needs to go, and as we try to follow Him there. So we see Gabriel's clarification of the plan. Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she is already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Now, when she asked that question, how can this happen? I kind of doubt she was expecting an answer that went like that. The Holy Spirit is going to make you pregnant. He's going to kind of hover. He's going to indwell you, da-da-da, and some miraculous thing is going to happen. Now, I wonder how much Mary knew of the Old Testament Scriptures. I believe she knew some, but maybe not a lot. I wonder if she realized that she was really the woman that God was talking about back in the Garden of Eden when He said to Satan, after He had caused Adam and Eve to sin, and He said, I will cause enmity to come between you and the woman. Well, Eve thought she was the woman, but she wasn't. It was Mary. I wonder if Mary had a clue at this point. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about. Well, in the clarification phase, the question of how is usually really, really, really big. We want to know how it's going to be done. How is it going to happen? And let's face it, oftentimes when we get to the clarification phase, we'd fall away. We drop off. Because when we don't see the how many of you are how people? You got to see how something's going to happen before you really go for it. Raise them high. Nothing wrong with that. You're called strategists, okay? We need strategists in the world, all right? We just need strategists with a little bit of faith, okay? And some of you raised your hands. That's who you are. Many of you are. So that's good. So the how phase is very important because the nature of how we're going to get there is often a function of how God created us, who He made us to be, the unique personality that we have. Some people are just, let me go for it, let me just jump out there, and they don't think about the hows, and often they can be wildly successful, they can fail wildly as well. But those who ask the how questions are a little more cautious, but a lot of times they'll have a pretty good record of success. Well, what are some of the questions that we might think about in this clarification phase? You know, this thing that God's talking, is it really even possible? Is it really even possible? Here's another one. Not why me in terms of I'm not any good, but why me rather than somebody else? Why me? Why me rather than Mike? Why me rather than Doug or Sean or Nicole or someone else? It's okay to have questions and doubts. You know, without questions and doubts, we wouldn't need faith, would we? If questions and doubts didn't exist, then there would be no need for faith. If faith didn't exist, then we would have nothing to overcome our questions and our doubts. Well, the third piece, and we see what Mary winds up doing, we see Mary's cooperation with God's plan. We see the cooperation. She decides. And she gives one of the most powerful verses, or powerful sayings. She didn't give it as a verse, but one of the most powerful statements in all the Scripture. She said, "I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever He wants. May everything you have said come true." And then the angel left. Now, what do we do with this story? First of all, I think we've got to recognize that we've got to be open enough to God to where He wants, when He wants to reveal to us the next part of His plan for our lives, that next big step. Maybe it's a little step. Maybe it's a medium step. Don't really know. There are big steps, medium steps, little steps, right? We need to be open to that. We need to say, we need to invite God to speak those into our lives, and then we need to be prepared to really consider what He has to say to us. We may not like what He reveals to us, again, because the cost might be great, but we have to be willing to consider it. And you know what? We have to be willing to cooperate with Him. So here's what I want to encourage you and challenge you to do during this Christmas season and even into the new year of 2011. Will you be willing to ask God on a daily basis to reveal more of His plan for you? It's a simple prayer. God, will you just reveal to me today more of what your plan is for me? Will you help me see it? Now, somebody stopped me last night after this message and they said, "Well, how does God speak to you?" Well, that's beyond the scope of this message, so it's kind of a cop-out, right? But God speaks to people in different ways. He doesn't speak to everybody the same way. We all have unique personalities. We all have different styles in the way we go about things. For me, for example, I told the individual who asked me this question, God speaks through me a lot through Scripture and through circumstances. And I pray for wisdom every day. My prayer every day, that James 1, 5, and 6, you know, God, give me the wisdom. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, then ask Him. He'll tell you. Don't, you know, you've got to expect Him to answer. And so I ask for that wisdom every day. That works for me. What works for you? Well, you know what? You need to figure that out. Get with a trusted colleague. Go see Todd Felkel or Stephen Potts or Don Overman or some of the folks there and say, you know, help me figure out how it is that I'm uniquely wired and the way God wants to speak to me. It's an important thing for you to understand. But you, first of all, you got to be willing to hear from Him. You got to be willing first to hear. And I believe that when we're willing to hear from Him, then God miraculously opens us up and He allows us to hear what He wants us to hear. So that's the challenge for us this Christmas season. Will you accept the challenge? Will you go for it? Will you move forward in the plan that God has for you? Because you know what? I've kind of heard it said, and it makes sense to me, although I'm not going to say it's absolutely true, but again, it does make sense. Nobody can fulfill the specific plan God has for you except for you. Now, if we say no, God will get somebody else to carry it out. He will get somebody else. God's work will be done. So the question is, are we going to accept the privilege, the responsibility and the privilege to move forward? Let's pray. Father, God, thank You for the fact that You have given us this Son, Jesus. You've given us this Mother Mary, a most unlikely of people, in a most unlikely town, for a most unlikely purpose. And Father, I ask You now, God, to just simply help us to look at Your plan for our lives with the same willingness to consider and to ask for clarification and to cooperate. God, I ask that You will give us the same willingness to do that as You gave Mary. God, may we be willing to move forward in Your kingdom, to live where You want us to live, to make a difference, Lord, in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our churches, wherever we find ourselves. God, may we commit this season to ask You the question on a regular basis, God, will You reveal more of Your plan for me today? I want to know more, and I want to obey more. As Stephen reminded us earlier, I want more of You, and less of me. So I pray that that will be our prayer today. God, thank you for this Christmas season, a time of newness, a time of new starts. May we be found new. May we be found faithful and obedient in the kingdom of God. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
This part of the service is probably next to Bud's message. It's probably my favorite part of the Christmas Eve services, where the lights go dim, completely dark, and we just focus on Christ. Christ is our light. Lights are going to go completely dim. I hope you have your candles. Pull those out, those candles that you had when you came in. Maybe we need to turn the light on for a second, guys, so they can see. Don't you love our text back there? Seriously, can we turn a light on? Thank you. Okay, now find your lights quickly. Parents, assist your children. All right, I think we're ready. So without the light, we have darkness. And Jesus said that I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. We're going to take this light and pass it around. And by the end of this song, the whole room should be lit. And we're going to sing together Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Silent night, holy night.
carefully. Blow out your candles. Again, parents, assist your children, please. And we'll turn the lights back on. And let that light remind you as you go into the new year to let your light so shine before men. Amen? Amen. Let's let our light shine in this dark world. We got a lost and dying world who are desperate for Jesus. They just don't know it. And it's not up to the government. It's up to us to be the good news. Amen? To be the hands and feet of Jesus. God bless you, you guys. Good night. Merry Christmas. Be safe wherever you're going. We love you. And good night.
That failed.